Open our hearts, our minds, our lives to your holy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And isn't it wonderful that Susan's here? Get to sing some wonderful hymns. That's right.
That's right.
There. As I get older, I remember fewer and fewer. But I know the tune. So. You turn with me to 1 Corinthians, first chapter. You don't know how hard it was for me to not preach on anything from the Gospel of John. It is my favorite. And the Ten Commandments are great. I love Charlton Heston. I thought I should probably preach on this since Paul said that this is what we preach on. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, but it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The cross is an amazingly powerful symbol. It's been made into some exquisite jewelry. How many of you are wearing a cross? Okay. How many of you own a piece of jewelry that's a cross? I have several. I know I've told you the story before, but I was getting a cross at Christmas for Belinda. She wanted one similar to mine. So I went to the jewelry store and I asked to see the crosses, and the young lady behind the counter took me over to them and she said, did you want to see one with the little man on it or a plain one? That told me a lot. I was looking for one with a little man on it. But as you know, if you read the gospel, it wouldn't seem so little to you. If you go into a Christian bookstore in any mall, you know, they have one, you walk in and they will have a cross stuck to anything you want to buy. They're everywhere. It's in bars of soap. I mean, it's on hats, it's on t-shirts, it's everywhere. And then there are places where you'll never see a cross. There are some nations that forbid the display of the cross. During Desert Storm, you know, military chaplains, and we were always easy to identify, there's a cross right there on the center of your hat or the center of your helmet. But in Desert Storm, you were in a Muslim country that they would forbid it. You could not wear those anywhere on your uniform, which I know several chaplains who got in trouble because instead of having the pin on their hat, they had it stitched on,
And so then they couldn't wear their hat, and they got in trouble for not wearing their hat. Just if you've ever been in the military, you know you can never be outside without a hat, and never inside with one on. The cross, oh, not doing, only some nations forbid it, but you know, God forbid, it seems that some churches forbid it too. We'll talk about that later. The cross means a lot of things to us today, but what did it mean to these people to whom Paul was writing? It was not a piece of jewelry that people wore. It was not something that marked buildings. It was something upon which you executed people. The cross was a horrible symbol. And that's the wisdom of God to take that horrible symbol and turn it into a sign of salvation. But to the people who were reading what Paul was writing to them, what did they see? What did the world think of a cross? We think of it, we think of, oh, you know, Jesus was hung on that cross and died for us. But there were countless thousands of people who were executed on the crosses. And it was a public execution. It was meant as a deterrent. And so everybody was familiar with it. Anybody remember Spartacus? Yeah, the survivors of that battle, thank God, were crucified. For miles and miles, people were hanging on crosses on the road. There was a revolt in Galilee when, about the time Jesus would have, some scholars speculate, about the time they would have been returning from Egypt. And they may have seen it because there were at least 30 people crucified. They would have had to pass them on the road had it been at that time. It was common. Not a beautiful thing at all. Not beautiful at all. And so you can understand what Paul's saying when he says, to the Jews, this is folly. Why? Because the person they're saying is the Messiah was crucified on a cross. And they're saying, I don't think so. That's not the Messiah they're waiting for. We're not waiting for a Messiah who's going to be crucified on a cross. And if they were hearing this from a person of high Christology who says Jesus was God incarnate, oh yeah, you're going to crucify God? I don't think so. That's one of the biggest hindrances you have when you begin talking with our Muslim friends. God cannot be killed on a cross. Is what the world would say is stupid. That's not how it works. And to the Greeks, in the Greco-Roman world, the Romans who really took the cross and brought it up to a real art form as far as torturing people. If you did not hear Father Bill's sermon last week, go back online and listen to it. This is a public execution, and it's a horrible, horrible death. And so, to the Greeks, that's foolishness that your God's going to come like that, and you want me to believe? That's a death reserved for the most heinous crimes and the worst of all criminals, and for treason. How could the Messiah be crucified? How can God be crucified? And why Would anybody want to worship such a puny, weak God?
It's a stumbling block. It's foolishness.
But the church continues to preach it. And we sing about it.
You did as the processional hymn. We're always singing about the cross. The old rugged cross. In the cross of Christ I glory. Do you all know that? How many hymns can you think of with cross in it? In the title. And then, and even when it's not in the title, like, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Most of the hymns of Lent in some way are going to be a reference to the cross. That's the direction we're headed. Think of the thousands of hymns that don't have it in the title. My grandmother's favorite hymn, and we sang it at her funeral, Abide With Me. Are you all familiar with Abide With Me? The last verse. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Well, last week, Father Bill was having a hard time remembering Rock of Ages. Yeah, I know. But once he remembered it, that was stuck in my head all week long. We got
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Do you ever get a song stuck in your head like that? And there's nothing, you try to sing other songs to get rid of it, and in a few minutes, Rock of Ages. And then that verse, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But now, we know what the cross was, we know what it meant. And we've seen, I can't count the number of depictions of Jesus on the cross. You've seen him that I've seen. Right? You missed that. Right as I said that, she did this. And you know, we see it, but do we really contemplate what's going on in that depiction? Or have we been numbed to it by the jewelry and the crosses on top of the buildings? There's a part of the church, and I'll allow them to be called church because that's what they say they are. It's not my place to dispute that, although I am. There's a part of the church that thinks you can grow your church bigger, and it seems to be working for them. You can grow your church bigger by not preaching about the cross. In fact, don't talk about the cross at all. You gotta admit, it's a bummer of a message. It's a real downer. That's not what people want to hear, is what the mindset comes from. And in a way, the church has come full circle. They're back to the way the people were in the time when Paul's writing this. It's a stumbling block. It'll keep people from coming to your church. And it's foolish to preach a message like that. Who wants to hear about suffering? Really, who does? Let's all get together and talk about Jesus being tortured. It's a pretty dark message if you're wanting to pack pews. Avoid the cross. Don't let the cross be the central message. Preach happy, useful things to help people. Give them a useful message. Preach uplifting things. Give them platitudes, not beatitudes. Give them uplifting sermons. People do not want to hear about the cross of Jesus. And it's for the same reasons no one wanted to hear about it then. But the church goes on preaching that message. It is foolishness. It's a stumbling block if you're wanting to pack pews. But God didn't call us to pack pews.
Amen.
I mean, if the church wanted to fill up its pews and bring people in from outside, yeah, we can tone it down. We could do like the mega churches do. We could do like prosperity preachers do. One of the biggest churches in the United States of America is in Houston. It was a former basketball arena. I mean, thousands pack that thing every week. You can watch it on television. And you will not hear a sermon about Christ crucified, I guarantee you. And there's not a single cross in that building. And I won't mention his name. But you know who I'm talking about. And that's not the only one. It's all over the place. And the rest of the world thinks that's Christianity. That is not the message of the cross. People want to see the mental image of sweet Jesus surrounded by little children who are all smiling. Most of them are white. And if not all of them. And somebody gave Belinda a plaque to hang up at the church for the children. I told her when she was showing it to me, I said, honey, you can't hang that up. Every single child is white. That doesn't even match the song, does it? Jesus loves little children. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear about the crucifixion. But it is, think about it. It's at the center of the gospel message. In the middle of the gospel message, there's this huge, big, ugly cross sticking up. And to those of us who are being saved, we look at that and we say, that is the power of God.
Amen.
But the children that don't have it, the churches that don't have it, they don't have it on their buildings, they don't have it displayed anywhere. And I think for the most part, it's not in their hearts. That's not what they think the Christian message is. They traded the gospel message for one that's easy on ears. And they have become not a church, but I think they are more of a religious country club that has nice activities for their children. And so they go. But the cross is serious. And the reason that message doesn't resonate with the world is they don't take sin seriously. And if sin isn't taken seriously, the cross is meaningless. Why do I need to be saved? Saved from what? How seriously does God take sin? It's as serious as the cross. God took an instrument of torture, made it into the means of our salvation. But what is it that God is seeking from people? I don't think God is, especially in Lent,
I don't think God's looking for a bunch of well-wishers and fine attire to show up on Easter morning and hunt for Easter eggs and say sweet things to one another about the resurrection. He's not seeking people who come to church in order to meet their needs and to make them feel good and to make their children happy participants. Jesus is seeking disciples. He wants people who love the world as much as he does. He seeks disciples who are willing to take up their cross and follow him. Take up your cross, the Savior said. Again, I admonish you, please go back and listen to last week's sermon. It's about taking up the cross of Christ, clinging to the cross of Christ. Let the world go its way, but we will continue to proclaim the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified. And I promise you, when things get rough in their lives, for the people out there, and things are going poorly, and there are great calamities that from time to time come upon the earth, that shallow faith will not serve them. So keep preaching Christ crucified to the world, no matter what. Amen. Amen.